up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Oh, cheerio, brother. Good to see you this eve.
Oh, wow. Let's really bad Cockney accents for when we actually watch Mary Poppins, and you can compete with Dick Van Dyke to see whose is worse.
I love it.
So next we've got Peter. Pete, how you doing?
Blimey, I'm doing fantastic. I wasn't going to do that, but you made me.
I'm so glad you did.
Steve, am I doing this show by myself tonight, or are you going to cut me some slack? Because I'm about to drop you these two.
I'm not joining in.
Oh.
So, guys, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, share. June's got some fun shows coming, still left in it. And I think you're going to like our 4th of July show. It's a kind of classic, but it's definitely one that a lot of people have seen. So, this week, being Father's Day, we went with a movie that talks about a couple of different fathers in several different ways. We watched Saving Mr. Banks. Tells the story, supposedly, of how Disney got the rights to Mary Poppins in his interactions with P.L. Travers. It has flashbacks to her life in Australia and her interactions with her own father. You see how Mr. Banks was treated in the different script rooms. You talk about Disney has interactions with his, you know, talks about wanting to do this for his daughters. You talk about probably the best dad of all of them, and the Paul Giamatti character, who is, I think, steals the show as the limo driver. And it's about the only one who actually makes any kind of real connection with Pamela Travers, at least in the story. So, Pete, I'm going to start with you on this one. What made you feel like dancing from this movie?
So you took my main one. I think Paul Giamatti is a fantastic actor, and he takes a kind of nothing part and makes a really sympathetic, interesting character that really connects to the audience. And all the scenes with, and to me, the other, I don't know if it's a great character, but I think she does, I think Emma Thompson does a wonderful job with the role for
P.L. Travers.
Yeah, P.L. Travers,
Pamela Travers.
Pamela Travers, yeah. So I think that their interactions are to me the highlight of the film. I think it's hard not to enjoy the working sessions with the Sherman brothers and the writer. And, you know, they're funny and amusing, and you get little snippets of some fantastic songs, and it's hard not to like that stuff. And I would also say Tom Hanks did a good job with Walt Disney. I don't know. It's a little distracting that it's Tom Hanks. You can't get past that it's Tom Hanks doing Walt Disney. But for that, I thought he did a really nice job. It was interesting reading. Like, I did some research about this movie, and like the director talked about like that they wrote this script and they were like really worried that the studio was going to make them show like a much better, like they were going to complain about the version of Walt that this movie was. I'm like, like what, how nicer of a version of Walt could they have made? Or like, like what were they going to complain about in this, that he coughed?
Which I know will be addressed in our next question.
But yeah, it seemed like it was a pretty pretty flattering version of Walt. Let's put it that way. Not that he was a bad person or anything, but you know, he had his things. So that's what I got. I don't want to take everything. So Steve, you got anything that
Probably mine was the limo driver and that connection. I really liked that. I like these sort of movies, like where something came to be, even though I have something to say on our next question as well about the same thing. But you took my main one, the limo driver, the connection there. I really liked that part of the story. I think it was the highlight of the film.
Yeah.
And for me, it was the representation of the Sherman brothers. The actors there, I actually read an interview they did with Richard Sherman, and basically he still had all of the hours of tapes from when they interviewed, when they were working with Pamela Travers, and they got access to all of them. And basically, and he was actually on set a lot of the days, and they would basically say, is this how this went? What would we have done here? Okay, cool. And then they would do the next take. So I like that authenticity there a little bit, because you catch that a little bit at the end when they play that little snippet of them starting to go through the script. There's a little in the credits, there's that actual little clip of the tapes. We talked about the Paul Giamatti character. I actually think his best scene was actually one that was included in the extras as being cut. It's when Emma Thompson basically calls for him. Basically, it's one of those, can you call for my driver? And she's heading back to New York. And Walt Disney comes out and tries to talk with her while she's sitting there. And basically, Paul Giamatti comes and says, no, she said she's leaving. We're leaving, Mr. Disney. This is not happening. She's done talking to you. Let's go. And that really, I think that scene, if it had been left in, I think really would have made sense more. All of a sudden, that change then where at the airport, all of a sudden, their interviews, their first name basis and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one little scene would have been nice. But yeah. Kate, anything else?
The casting as a whole of this movie, I just like trying to find, I had more of an issue trying to find somebody I didn't like. Pete, you nailed it for me. I couldn't figure out how to verbalize it, because truly Tom Hanks, anything he touches is gold. He's so good. He's so good. But I couldn't see Walt Disney. I only saw Tom Hanks. I saw Tom Hanks being amazing, but I couldn't see Walt Disney. But the casting of the Sherman brothers, the casting of P.L. Travers, the casting of the aunt who comes in, who is allegedly,
where have we seen Mary her recently? Poppins. Where have we seen her recently?
Oh, I have no idea.
It was Rachel Griffiths.
She was the wife in The Rookie.
So
this was the same director as The Rookie.
Yeah.
Even Colin Farrell playing the dad, how you fall in love with him and the relationship he has with his daughter at the beginning, and then just watching that, just and the, it just, the casting was so good. And just all so many, I mean, you all named so many of the rock star actors. That was something that I really appreciated. And the music, just the background music, how it was always a Sherman Brothers song played. Like it may have been an upbeat song, but played slowly. I kept being like, oh, this is so good.
Wrong. Not on the carousel. When they were on a carousel, it was Zippity Doodah.
Oh, well,
and,
sure. I'm more meant like
Wish Your Heart Makes.
Sure.
But so did on the music, did anyone else notice? Cause it was scored by Thomas Newman, who also did Finding Nemo. And I thought a lot of his scoring for this movie was very similar to that kind of light, flowy that from Finding Nemo, which is, I mean, Finding Nemo is a fantastic score. Don't get me wrong, but this felt a little derivative of that to me.
Yeah.
But it was still good.
That was mostly what I had. I was really blown away by the casting and the music. That was the biggest things for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, not all everything about this was terrific. Steve, I'll start with you on this. What made you want to stand up and walk out of watching it?
Mine was actually Tom Hanks. I know he did a fabulous job, but all I saw throughout the entire movie was Tom Hanks pretending to be Walt Disney. And it really took me out of the movie at times. Like, oh, it's Tom Hanks acting. I know that he did a lot of research and got the mannerism down and stuff. So I guess, no, that was, for me, that was really distracting. And I wasn't really a fan of the backstory. I found it sort of lost at times, maybe because I was really, really tired, especially at the beginning, trying to figure out what was going on. So those are the big things.
Okay, I'm going to have you go next.
Oh, okay. So I love Mary Poppins. I love the story of Mary Poppins. I know that sometimes when I don't know how to put it nicely, they didn't stay true to what really happened with P.L. Travers, how she felt about the movie, the creation of the movie. I just felt like they positioned it where Walt kind of came off as the hero or the good guy. Not entirely, but the actual story and how he treated P.L. Travers and the just some of the disrespectful things that he did, they didn't show that. And they showed, like, at the end of the movie, she's emotional. And they play it where it's emotional because she actually likes the movie. And in doing some research, no, she was pissed. She was pissed. She was so mad. She hated the penguins. She didn't like how they softened up Mary Poppins a little bit. She didn't like the music. Like, she was not about it. And Walt Disney basically told her, sorry, Charlie, that ship has sailed. So
yep.
While I understand the point of the movie, and you all know, like, I love movies like this. I love a good backstory movie. I really enjoy movies like this. And I think as a whole, kind of like the movie The Greatest Showman, which I know isn't Disney, but doesn't follow what actually happened at all. But it's like a good heartwarming story. This, I was just bothered that always just as I was watching this, no matter how much I liked the movie, it always just bothered me that it was like, this isn't what happened. Excuse me. This isn't what happened. And it, yes, some of it is. But a lot of parts of it, this isn't what happened. And so that was just really hard for me to get past. So, Pete, what about you?
I think Derek wanted to make a comment. So no,
go ahead.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Derek. Go ahead.
No, Pete.
I didn't know.
Well, I was going to say, I do get that to a degree, but I think that within creative license, I don't think this movie is that far off. You know, I get what you're saying. She did not like the movie in the end, and she never licensed any of her books again. And for sure. But I think, I mean, the point of it all was to tell her story of kind of, you know, her realizing what was holding her back from releasing the story and that. And I think that was captured right, even if it wasn't exactly how it happened. So, that's but what I was going to say about the issues I had the movie, the backstory stuff is way too much, way too long. This is the third time I've seen this movie. And when did it come out? 2013 or something? It was more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. But saw it in the theaters, saw it a few years ago with watch showed it to my daughter. And then this time I fast forwarded through a lot of the flashbacks, because to me there was, you didn't need it all. You just didn't need so much of it to get across the point. And to me, it really made the movie drag. The movie's 2 hours and 10 minutes, and there's not much to the plot of this movie, right? I mean, it's, she comes to LA, she works in the studio for 2 weeks, and she eventually begrudgingly lets Walt Disney make her movie, right? And so I get why they did that, but it makes them, to me, the movie drags, and it's a lot because of that older stuff. Because I find the not modern, but the 60s stuff interesting enough, as Kate said, like the history of how things are made and things like that. I find that interesting enough that I didn't mind sitting through it, even though it was slow. But when you take that other stuff, like, did we really need to know that her mother tried to commit suicide at one point? It's just, I don't know. You could have, there had to have been 45 minutes of flashbacks in this movie, and it could have been 15 minutes. So that's my main complaint. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, that's a good chunk of it. Is it was a slow movie. You're right. Most of the flashbacks could have been cut. Early in the movie, it wasn't as bad because the flashbacks were short.
Mm-hmm.
The flashbacks were like 30 seconds to a minute. And I think if they had been able to keep it there, but you're right. The whole thing about her mother attempting to commit suicide. Sure. Kate, I'm actually going to disagree with you on something you said. I felt zero empathy for the father at all in any of this movie, mainly for the way he treated his wife.
That's fair. I think I was looking at it from the eyes of a little girl who wanted a father like that at the beginning.
That's fair. That is fair. It's just, to me, the way he treats his wife from the beginning is,
yes, horrible. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I don't even think he's a particularly good father. Yes, he spends time with his daughter, but he's a drunk and he can't hold a job, which means he can't provide for his family in the outback of Australia, where you need to keep your family alive.
And you make her go and get him alcohol.
Yeah. And right. When you suggest this is a Father's Day show, it's like, what are we focusing on, bad fathers?
Well, Disney seems to specialize in that. So, but I mean, to me, it was too long. Even some of the scenes in the 60s got very repetitive, especially like her back at the hotel. Yes, we understand everything that's going on, but didn't need to see all of it.
Yeah, like the scene where she goes to the bar, like,
yeah.
What was that there for? It didn't.
Yeah. Like,
just to create another flashback, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway. Okay. So now, normally I like making of stuff, the whole making of, but movies are always a different thing. But what movie, and I want to say try and stay Disney, but if you can't, I get it. What movie should be the next movie, be the next feature of the movie that it talks about how it's made? Okay. Kate, I'm starting with you.
Yeah, I knew you were going to.
You need to pass?
Well, I had two come to mind, and one of them is not Disney, and one of them is sort of Disney.
Go ahead.
As much as I may not like J.K. Rowling, I think the creation of Harry Potter could be very interesting. My other one was going to be the creation of Star Wars, and how did George Lucas come up with these ideas throw in somebody who may have been like, that's really dumb. You're going to fail at this. Or even the creation of Stan Lee, like Stan Lee's backstory.
Didn't we do that?
Yeah, I think we did.
That was a biography.
But when it comes to like big movies, most of the ones I think of aren't Disney, because I think of Jurassic Park. I think of Harry Potter. So you all go. Let me keep thinking.
Okay. Pete.
So I think of Disney movies that could be interesting, maybe like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea might be an interesting one. If we're talking about like older ones, and slightly more modern, though now it's not that modern, but like how they went about making Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I think could be, an interesting movie in terms of like how they develop the concept and like the getting the rights to use the characters. And like, I don't know, maybe that would work better as a documentary. But I think you could make like a fun Looney Tunes-esque version of how that movie was made type thing.
Yeah, makes Robert. No,
not Space Jam. I don't need to know how that was made. No, it was made by putting Michael Jordan in front of a green screen.
I do. That's a great movie.
No, it's not.
She's the
right age to think it's a great movie, but that's okay. It's a lot.
Her heart. So, Steve?
First, I read this question wrong in my mind, but it would be a movie about how Disneyland came to be, entire process of there. But talking movies, I think going back to the original of where he risked everything, making a feature animated feature length movie and taking a huge gamble and the drama behind that.
Yeah.
For me, I've got two. One Disney, the one Disney I would love to see is Fantasia. And the interactions with Stokowski and the Fanta sound issues and all of that, it hitting right as the war came out in Europe. So they didn't get any of the foreign box office. To me, that now you'd have to have someone that played a lot better Walt Disney than Tom Hanks. Okay. Has anyone in here watched a little sidetrack? Has anyone here watched the How Disney Built America that's been on History Channel?
No, I haven't yet.
Not yet.
It's worth watching. And the guy they have playing Walt looks enough different from Walt that it works. And it's not someone I've ever seen, but he looks close enough to Walt, but it's obvious it's not CGI. I don't know if you guys have ever seen like any of the Men Who Built America or anything along those series. It's very similar to that. I said, I watched the first four episodes. It's something that was not put out by Disney and most definitely was not done by Disney. Mm-hmm. Because if nothing else, in the first episode, they address the whole Walt Disney UB iWorks fight over Mickey. So that'd be the Disney one. The non-Disney one, I can't believe being in the state I'm from, I'm going to say this, but there are so many fun stories behind Wizard of
Mickey. Oh my gosh, you're totally right.
They did that movie though.
Did they?
Yeah, there's a Chevy Chase movie called Under the Rainbow.
I mean, make a good movie.
No, I didn't say it was a good movie, but there is a movie that exists about the making of Wizard of Oz. It's a bad movie, but
I would also do Singing in the Rain. The making of Singing in the Rain, because Gene Kelly was not easy to work with.
And like sent Debbie Reynolds, she was like 16 or so when she made that movie, basically sent her to the hospital because she and basically all the other, Donald O'Connor basically looked at Gene Kelly and said, we're stopping for the day. She's done. So he was not nice.
He was not nice.
I've heard story, you know, there's stories about making Gone with the Wind. Ugh. And don't do that like it's a great movie. Don't do that like it's a
classic.
Great
movie. It's not great, but it's a classic.
This is true.
It's old. So, guys, 4, saving Mr. Banks, as we always do. We give it a cup of pixie dust out of 5 as a total movie. Kate, number of pixie dust. Cups of pixie dust.
2.5.
Yeah, if you'd asked me before this viewing, I probably would have given it a 3, but having watched it a third time, I'm a 2.5 also. I'm with Kate.
I'm a 3. And maybe it's I've only seen it twice, but a 3.
And I'm a 2.5 with the caveat that everyone should see it once. If you're a fan of Mary Poppins, everyone should see it once.
I would agree with that. Yes. If you're a fan of Mary Poppins, for sure.
And but I don't now know. You got me stuck on what movies should we do a making of? There's gotta be like
8.
But she wants a different one.
Movie. No, I'm just thinking because oh my god. The Wizard of Oz. That's so good, Derek. That's so good. But even like, what about like, was it Lab? I never say this word right. Which is the one with David Bowie and Labyrinth. Yes, I cannot say that word. I cannot pronunciate that word. That one could be interesting. Or even The Princess Bride. Like, just so good. So good.
There's actually a very, very good book out about that. As You Wish, written by Cary Elwes. Read it. It's a great book about the actual stories.
I'm going to be thinking about this for a while.
Okay.
So good.
Good. So, also this week, The Acolyte came out. I'm actually going to pull Gina in on this one also. As our resident Star Wars person, and Kate, I know you did not see this, so I'll see you in a minute. But Gene, I'll start with you. It came out with 2 episodes, not necessarily any details, but just first impressions of it as a series.
Okay. I only watched the first episode. So there's that disclaimer. The only thing I could think of was like crime, like NCIS. And it was so weird. And then I got a text from Vicky and she's like, do you think this is Law and Order? I said, you know what it is? It's like a very NCIS Coruscant, Law and Order Coruscant. So that's my first impression.
Law and Order Special Jedi Unit.
Yes. Very long episode of.
Yeah. So that's my first impression. What about you, Pete? What's your first impression?
I did watch the first 2 episodes. I found the show interesting, but kind of slow moving, but, I was okay with it. There's a spoilery thing, but I don't want to say it, talk about it. So
go for it. Go for it.
Okay. Well, cause I think it comes out in the, I think it comes out in the first episode. So
she's the twin.
That she's a twin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I liked is like most television shows would have milked that for like episodes, but this show was just like, oh, she's a twin. You know what I mean? So I was happy that they did not, that it wasn't a plot point, but that they didn't like pretend for a long time that the one character was not the twin of the other character. So,
and that the one girl actually did do it, even though she had a twin, because the girl in the force projection, whatever noise that was, the girl came out and admitted, yeah, I killed her.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
CSI.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. And I called the twin thing about halfway through the first episode.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh, there's a twin. My other half went, what? I go, there's a twin. So.
and I'm wondering if it's that spiral dot pattern on the forehead. One of them is going to have it on the forehead. One of them is not going to have it on the forehead.
Yep.
No. Oh, yeah. No, yes.
Pete, you know, it was slow. It was really slow.
I said that, didn't I?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Okay. I said you nailed it, that it was really slow. I'm sorry. I want my Star Wars to have at least some kind of upbeatness to it or anything. And this was 40. Again, I only watched the first episode, but it was 42 minutes of dramatic slog. Even the little robot gizmo pocket knife thingy that she had.
Boy, the pit boy.
Doesn't make any sense. And no, it's not. It's not. If she named it Guido, I was just done.
I would cat back there. It's the Pip Boy from what's the game? Fallout.
Sure. Oh,
that's what it reminded me of. So, anyway,
but anyway,
I was like, why doesn't everybody in Star Wars have one of these?
They're the coolest gadgets.
I mean, it's 100 years old. It's outdated, but not really.
Yeah,
and I mean. The only question I had is that, and I don't think we find out in episode two, at least that I've been able to find out, is at the end of episode one, who is her Sith trainer? There are a bunch of theories about it.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of theories about it, but that's the only.
Did you see both episodes, Derek, or just the first one?
I just saw the first one.
Okay, so I'm the only one that saw the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll watch the second one.
But I've seen enough stuff online to know that, no, you don't find out who it is.
You do not. No, no.
And I bet.
Do you have a guess? What? Does anybody have a guess of who it is?
Who did I say? Genie Arnold? It wasn't Plagueis.
You said the. Oh, yeah, the other guy. I forget the other guy's name.
Plagueis is dead. Oh, I will say, after watching the first episode, I love that it's not connected, not connected at all, but there's confirmation that Yoda shows up.
I thought they said no, Yoda.
No, there's confirmation that Yoda shows up.
I the thing I read was that they got the other green lady to play because they didn't want to like distract with Yoda.
And
are
and
you sure see, that
I got Yodette?
I've seen stuff like. And I may be wrong on this one. Trust me, it's happened before. But I'm pretty sure I've seen stuff that says yes, Yoda will make an appearance, like from the director.
Hmm.
So okay. Go ahead.
Forget Yoda.
He does not appear in the second episode. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Yeah. He'll probably at the end. He'll probably be at 8.
Yeah, and there are 8 episodes of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to back up the last 45 seconds, what I was just talking about, because I did the real quick look of the article I thought I saw, and it has a great big correction.
Oh, so no Yoda.
The director is basically saying, no, Yoda will not appear in The Acolyte.
Okay. So it's Yodette. Yodette will be in the...
No.
Not Yodette? Okay.
No. Okay, and... Were the guys on the ship where she originally was, were they the same guys as the trade people?
Trade Federation.
Yes.
The very first part.
Yes.
Terrible Phantom Menace.
Yes. The Trade Federation.
Okay. I did really enjoy that they were like Jedi. Ugh.
Yeah. I did too. I really appreciated that.
So. Okay,
that's what some Star Wars fans feel like now when Jedi show up in a
show. Yeah,
Jedi.
They ruin everything. Anyway, so that was. I'm really excited to see what happens, and I'm really excited to see
my daughter really likes the shirtless Jedi.
Oh yeah.
Did anyone think he looked really young to be a true Jedi master?
Yes, I thought he was very young.
The actor's actually like 30, so
okay.
Still.
He looked young, but
Anakin was like 25 when he started with Ahsoka.
Right, but was he a master at that point, or was he?
Yeah,
just...
yeah,
he was a master at 25.
Okay. So okay, then I've missed stuff. Were they changed stuff? Where they actually accepted him into the order to let him be a?
He was a Jedi master. The big conflict in the third movie was they wouldn't put him on the council.
Right.
Now.
But he was a master because he had Ahsoka.
He was a master.
Yeah, he was training Ahsoka.
They made him a master between two and three. Yeah.
If you watch the Clone Wars, you'll understand. That's he was.
You watch that 86 hours of television.
You will know.
That is Marvel.
Anyway.
So anyway, I'm going to pull Kate back in here real quick. Guys, there is. Amazingly, no Disney Plus news this week.
No Disney Plus news for you.
But next week we have watching the Jim Henson documentary, Jim Henson Idea Man, done by Ron Howard, I believe. Ron Howard.
So good.
So, the reviews I have seen have been mixed, to be perfectly honest. I'm looking forward to this. But we'll see how things end up. It's actually going to be next week. Will actually just be Pete, Kate and I. So, because these two will be jokers. No, actually Steve will be there. Steve will be
back. I'm the only one in Florida.
Yeah. You will be in Florida and Steve's going to be there having survived last week of school, Steve.
Yes.
Hey. So, guys, we have, you know, July's pretty well hit, but there is nothing. Once the Acolyte is over until Agatha starts in September, there's not much coming out. So we need suggestions on what you want us to watch. Email us if it's anywhere decent, even if we all think we're all going to hate it. You suggest it, we'll watch it. You just want to torture
even the Beach Boys?
Oh, no, we're not. I have
not the Beach Boys. Beach
Boys. Don't watch the Beach Boys. It's really boring. So
that's disappointing.
I mean, there's enough because it's actually that would have been a better one as a Bohemian Rhapsody style movie than actually as interviewing the Beach Boys.
Bummer. It's a bummer
because there's a lot of stuff later on with them, you know, the psychological drama and all the different dramas that stuff go on that they cover in like 5 minutes.
Oh,
so
they like barely get into that. Like, that's the interesting stuff.
That's the best part. Yeah.
No, they don't hit on it hard at all. Mm-hmm. So, guys, if you have other suggestions, message us. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you want to get a hold of us. We've got new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Gina, Pete, Kate, and Steve, we will see everyone next week.
Give us a like.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.